Welcome to The Mental Breakdown, where we tackle all issues related to mental health, mental illness, parenting, schooling, relationships, and everything in between. While Drs. Bernie and Richard will provide the most up-to-date ideas and perspectives, the information provided in this podcast is not a substitute for medical care. Our goal here at The Mental Breakdown is to provide you with information to help you make your life the best it can be. So without further ado, here's Dr. Bernie and Dr. Richard. Welcome to episode 26 of The Mental Breakdown. This is Dr. Bernie.
And I'm Dr. Richard.
And here we are with our second full episode on Mixlr.
On live.
Very excited about it. It kind of brings a whole new meaning to this, a whole new little facet to this, because usually we can start and stop and restart, and it's harder to do that now that we're using Mixlr.
And we have a new appreciation for those who do this regularly and yes. Live on the radio. Yeah.
So today our podcast is focusing on tech time. That's a title. I thought it was a catchy little title. But it is all about technology and the time that our kids use technology.
Okay.
That's a pretty important topic.
And this follows a topic last week. Last week's topic, if you haven't listened to it yet, was titled The Urge to Punish. And it was that whole, the whole discussion was about, as parents and teachers, we often want to know what's the most effective way to punish a child's behavior. To punish a child for misbehaviors is probably a more accurate way of putting it. And one of the reasons we punish children is for their overuse of technology.
Right.
It's a common theme in many households is, if my child does this, should I take her cell phone? And if I take her cell phone, how long should I take it? It's a question parents used to ask about timeout. You know, how long should timeout be? And parents are asking us the same question about they ask us two questions, is how much time should their kids be on different types of technology, electronics, and also how should it be used as punishment if they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing around the house.
Right. And I think that maybe we should start out, and I know in our outline we have some very specific things and strategies that we're going to provide you, but I think it's important that we start out by saying that all technology is not created equal.
Right.
Right. Cell phones are different than Xbox, is different right. than Facebook, mm-hmm. is different than, TV.
Don't lump them all together because each medium is very different. Each type of technology is very different, used differently, and should be used as a consequence differently.
Right.
So, yes, I absolutely agree. They're all different.
Yeah, so as we're going through some of this stuff, it's important that you recognize that all kids are different, and all technology is different. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to lump it all together and say, okay, well, here's a hard, fast rule for all technology, because it does vary.
That's right, and many parents will say, okay, you get no technology now. We're going to take away all the technological devices. We're going to take away all your electronic devices. That's probably not a good idea.
Right.
You need to deal with each device differently.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So let's start out by talking about, what you mentioned a moment ago, the question that we get from parents, and that is, how much time should we allow our kids to spend on technology? Mm-hmm. And as you can imagine from what we've already said, it depends.
Right.
It depends on the technology. It mm-hmm. depends on your child. It depends on a variety of things. And so, again, we don't want to lump it all together to make it seem as though, one size fits all and that's just the way to go.
Right.
So you first have to know your child and know the technology, and maybe more importantly, know the purpose of the technology for your child.
Right.
We tend to, and I've heard this argument many times, we tend to think that, if they're on technology, they're on that, but they're not interacting with other people.
Right.
Well, it's not exactly accurate.
Right.
When most teenagers are on their phone, if they're on Snapchat, if they're on Instagram, they are interacting with their peers. And that is a very different situation than sitting in front of the TV watching sitcoms or watching television programs.
Right, right.
And so mm-hmm. you have to remember that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so from our opinion, there's not a hard, fast rule for how much time a person should spend on technology.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to vary, and it's going to depend on what you're expecting the child to do.
Right. And while we're talking about time, how much time kids should spend or do spend, there's an interesting study done by the Kaiser Family Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2010, that seems recent, but then you think, gee, that was 5 years ago. That was a long time ago from
right.
a technological standpoint. And if you have a paper and pencil, some of you may want to write this down. In 2010, kids were spending 53 hours per week on electronics. And that was an increase of 80 minutes per day from 1999. So in 2010, it was 53 hours a week, which was an increase of 80 minutes. So they were spending 80 minutes per day more than they were in 1999. So from 1999, we have a jump in 2010. Now listen to this. This year, the average is 75 hours a week.
Wow.
So and these are data from the Kaiser Family Foundation, that now it's jumped to 75 hours a week that kids are spending on music, TV and movies, and internet and video games. So it includes
all of those things.
All of the electronic media. But 75 hours a week.
75.
Right. Now that's the average child in the United States is spending 75 hours a week. Okay?
It's incredible.
And when Dr. Bernie takes you to the next stop on this, you'll see why 75 hours is a very significant number.
Well, this is the first place that we start when working with parents.
Right.
Talking about the issue of how much tech time we should allow.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, let's first look at how many hours there are.
Right.
Okay, so if we think about a typical week,
mm-hmm.
all right, Sunday to through Saturday.
Right.
Okay, so 7 days. How many hours is in a week?
168.
168 hours in a week.
Right.
All right? So let's think about things that... So within that 168 hours... Everything has to fit within that 168 hours.
Everything we do has to fit in 100. Don't have any more.
There's no. We can't get any more time.
Can't create any more. Right.
We haven't yet gotten to the 25-hour days, but we're working on that
around here. We'd like to. We're already on 7-day weeks, so we want 30-hour days now.
Right. So 168 hours a week. We have to fit everything in there. So let's first, and this is what we work with our parents. Let's first start. Weeding through the things that the have to's.
Okay.
So we need to sleep.
Right.
And so these are rough estimates, and this is where unfortunately extra time is snuck for some of these extra activities.
Mm-hmm.
But if you get 8 hours of sleep a night,
right.
Mm-hmm. We usually sleep a little bit later on Saturdays and Sundays. So sometimes, you know, if we get 10 hours of sleep on Saturday and Sunday. That's 5 days a week with 8 hours of sleep, 2 days a week with 10 hours of sleep. There's 60 hours.
Okay. So you subtract 60 from 168.
Right.
Okay.
And so we're left with 108.
So you have 108 hours left after you sleep.
Right.
Okay.
What are our other have-tos? School.
Okay.
School is set 5 days a week, seven and a half hours a day. So that comes out to 37 and a half hours a week.
Well, with travel time, say it's 8 hours, so 40 hours in school.
If we include travel time,
just round it off.
But of course, we know that if students ride buses and they do some of these other things, that even adds more time. But we'll stick with rounding the 7.5 up to 8, and we'll say that's 5 days a week. So there's your 40 hours. So now we're down to 68 hours.
At 68 hours.
Right. We haven't included showers, homework, dinner, if eating. We haven't included church, chores, homework. We haven't included any of those things. But what we have from our reports from the Kaiser Institute Foundation is that they're using 75 hours a week in tech time. We're already out of hours.
Wow.
Because we only have 68 hours left after sleeping and home.
Well, let's do
and
a
school.
Rough estimate of hygiene, eating, family time, whatever else we put in here, and subtract that from the 68.
Okay. Usually, if we don't have to consider lunch,
right?
And
that's
usually breakfast because that's part of that morning routine and everything.
Right.
So let's just count dinner.
Okay.
And let's count showers in the evening,
right.
Brushing teeth and all that kind of stuff. And so let's count that as an hour a day for the weekdays.
Mm-hmm.
On the weekends, we'll have to count lunch and those kinds of things. So we'll add two more hours for the lunch and dinner and all.
So we're close to 8 hours.
We're close to 8 hours a week.
So now
those
we're down to
things.
60 hours a week.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So again, we're whittling down. If we follow the expectations of most schools, students are going to have anywhere from an hour to 2 hours worth of homework a night.
Okay.
So if we round it to an hour and a half.
Right. On average.
On average, and we say that do that.
Four or five nights a week.
Right. So now we're up to six. That's six hours.
Okay.
So if we stay 4 hours a week. So now we're down to 54 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have to think about church.
Right.
We have to think about extracurricular activities because we know if we have soccer or baseball practice or something, that's a couple nights a week.
Right.
So for extracurriculars, we should probably take out 4 or 5 hours a week. That we should take
like
out
music lessons or after school activities or okay.
Right.
So then we're down to 50 hours.
Okay. And then we have other things that we need to do as a family.
Right.
But
we're talking about 50 hours a week.
A week. Right. Exactly. So we're talking about a handful of hours a day that we're kind of consider as free time, but we haven't counted chores.
Right.
We haven't counted travel time to other places. We haven't talked about trips to grandmother's house. We haven't talked about other expectations that your child may, that you may have on your child or anything like that. And the point comes down to is this time gets whittled away very, very quickly. And what we try to do with our the families that we work with is we go through this 168 hours and try to identify where your time is and where you're losing time.
But if you look at your weekends as free time, let's say a Saturday, and you have, say, 10 hours of free time on a Saturday, just round number, 10 hours on Friday, 10 hours on Saturday, that whittles the 50 to 30.
Right.
Which means during the week you have 30 hours, about 30 hours. The maximum you could have is about 30 hours a week of free time.
Right. And what the Institute says is that our kids are spending twice that amount.
More than twice
that amount.
Hours.
Right.
That's just electronic media.
Right. Yeah, that doesn't count anything else. Mm-hmm. That doesn't count hanging out with friends, going to the movies, anything like that. That's just electronic media.
Okay.
So the point comes down to, we shouldn't be focusing on how much time should we allow our kids to spend. What we really should focus on is how much time do our kids have to spend on technology.
I think that's the best starting point. Is there 168 hours in a week. If you start subtracting what has to be done, you very quickly get to a point where you say, this is how many hours there are.
Right.
But also, what do you want your children to be doing?
Right.
I mean, it's not a question of how do I limit this as much as it is, what else do I want my kids to be doing? If I want my kids to be to learn to play the piano, if I want them to be involved in sports, you have got to create time for those other activities.
Right.
And if your children are involved in the other activities, then it's automatically going to limit or reduce the 75 hours of electronic time.
Right.
Okay.
Right. It whittles down very, very quickly. And I walked through this with a patient of mine a couple of weeks ago, because he thought it was perfectly acceptable to spend, and he admits it very directly, he will spend anywhere from 10 to 12 hours on Saturday and Sunday playing video games. On both days. Each day, right. 10 to 12 hours on Saturday and then 10 to 12 hours on Sunday.
So he's spending 20 to 24 hours...
across 2 days.
Just in 2 days.
Right. And then he will play as much as he can during the week.
So he would easily get to that 75 hours.
Easily.
Wow.
And so we sat down and we looked at it because he was wondering why, you know, where his time is and why he doesn't have time to, you know, his parents were wondering why he doesn't do his homework and why he's not doing these things. And we just did the simple math.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes very, very direct. So let's begin by saying, let's not focus so much on how much time should your child be allowed to be on electronics, but again, how much time does your child have to spare to be on electronics?
Right.
And that kind of approaches this problem from a different angle.
I think that's the best, yeah, that's really good advice, is how much time does he have? Not how much time should he get,
right?
But how much time does he have? And if you do the math, you went and saw a movie last night.
Yes.
And you said it was all about the math.
It's all about the math. And I saw The Martian.
You saw Martian.
The Martian.
Is it good?
It was very good.
Okay.
It was very good.
And you made a comment that it's all about the math.
Yes.
This is all about the math.
Right.
Okay. There are only so many, you only have this many hours.
Yes.
And if you, and rather than asking how much time should she spend, it's how much time does she have.
Right.
And build it around that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And again, recognizing that, you know, in looking at this simple math, we're cheating time. Now, most kids are not cheating time from school. You know, they're at school the 7.5 hours a day.
Right.
They're traveling to and from school every day. So they're not cheating time there. Where they're cheating time tends to be with their sleep. They're staying up later than they should be staying, so that they can play, squeeze a couple of more minutes or a couple of more hours out of their day to play the video games. Mm-hmm. And so they're cheating themselves out of adequate sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly that has, I mean, we've talked about sleep in previous podcasts, that of course results in a lot of other problems.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be cautious of that. And from here, let's, you know, I think that we have to mention, Richard, that, you know, this isn't, despite what we say, this is not a new problem.
No it isn't.
Mm-hmm. You know, I remember growing up in the 80s, and I remember when call waiting came out, right? So back then, of course, for, I don't know how young anybody is that's listening would be, but remember, there was a time, and I know you remember this, there was a time when you had one phone line coming into your home.
Yeah, right.
And you had those long cords that you had to stretch all around the house
and
everything because you were tethered to the wall
with those
phones. And then in the 80s, call waiting came out. And it was like, it was an amazing invention because now all of the grief that our parents gave us about being on the phone too long because somebody else could be calling.
Right.
What if there's an emergency?
Getting a busy signal.
They would get a busy signal.
That's right.
Right. And so when call waiting came, then you could stay on the phone longer because you would never miss a call because it would buzz through on the other side and you could switch over and go that way. And then there was three-way calling and all of these things came about in the 80s and 90s. That began to expand how much time we could spend on the phone and with the technology. You know, when we were growing up, parents complained all the time about how much TV time.
Right.
You know, TV is the technology. How much TV time we had. And then when the video games came out and Atari and the NES and all of those, everybody was complaining about how much time students were spending on that. So right. This isn't new. It's been around for 20 or 30 years.
Yeah, as I was putting this together, I was thinking that it's not a new problem because my grandmother, who was born in the 1800s, you should have seen the look that I just got from across the table. She probably complained to her children that they were spending too much time outside and not enough time on their homework.
Right.
They were playing too much and not devoting enough time to their homework.
Right.
My mother, my parents' generation, complained that we were watching too much TV mm-hmm. and not doing our homework.
Right.
My generation is complaining that my children are spending too much time in electronic devices and not doing their homework.
Right.
So I don't think the medium is the problem. The electronic, it's the same problem.
Right.
It's you're not doing your homework.
Right.
And that goes back to that idea of how do you want to spend your time.
Right.
And the problem today, I think, is identical to the problem that my father had, you know, or people had 80 or 90 years ago, that you're doing this instead of this is the issue.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So if we can agree that this isn't a new problem, that there's only so much time in a week,
right,
and that we have obligations that we have to meet,
mm-hmm.
And again, recognizing that a lot of electronic media, a lot of electronic work is useful for some kids.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have a lot of kids with autism spectrum disorders.
Right.
I don't mind them being on electronic devices when they're interacting with other people.
If they're interacting with others.
Right.
Right.
You know, if you're on Xbox Live and you're talking to other people while you're trying to solve complete a game or you're trying to do something, I don't have a major issue with that. I mean, I think that that's good. It's a non-traditional social relationship,
right.
But it is a social relationship nonetheless where they have to navigate
compared to
things.
A child with autism spectrum disorder who's buried in his own little video game,
right.
Isolated from the rest of the world.
Exactly.
Right. So it's not the game. It's how the game is being used.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So if we can agree with these things, agree that the type of technology matters, the amount of time that we have in a week, we have, that there's not much debating that, and that there are other obligations, then when we have to sit and try to figure out how much is enough time, let's work backwards, mm-hmm. okay? So let's begin with what are your obligations?
Right, what do we have to do?
Right. So, you know, if we stick with our 168-hour rule, then we can say, all right, well, we need to have this amount of sleep, okay?
Right.
So we're going to arrange our schedule such that we are sure that we get this much sleep every night.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we agree that, okay, school is important, so we will get this amount of, we will dedicate this amount of time to sleep. Or to school. Mm-hmm. So that's 37 and a half hours a week. And if we look at it comprehensively enough, we can add in the time for travel and all that kind of stuff. At that point, we're left with a very specific number of hours. That is the time that's divvied up with all the other obligations. So if you want your child to be doing an hour and a half or 2 hours worth of homework every night.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that comes out of those hours, and that time has to be scheduled.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just working with a family the other day. They want to make sure that their son's doing his homework every night. And so we said, okay, well, we went through this process. What time does he get home from school? What time is his bedtime? What time is dinner? What time is shower, hygiene things? All right, so between, for this kid, so between 6:30 and 8 or 8:30 at night, that time is dedicated to homework. Nothing else is done during that time.
Mm-hmm.
That time is dedicated to homework.
Right.
they have chores that they have to do every day. Okay, well, let's look at this same time frame and say, okay, well, we have this 30-minute time block here, right. So let's dedicate that time to chores. Yeah. And as we go through each of these obligations, what we find is there's an hour left over at night.
An hour of free time.
An hour of free time.
Right.
There's your hour of...
that's your electronic time.
That's your electronic time. Right. And when you work through that process with your child,
right,
it's not just you arbitrarily saying, no, you only get to play video games for an hour a night, because every kid is going to object to that.
Right.
But if you work with them and help them understand, mm-hmm. you know, look, this is the situation. There's a finite number of hours in a day. Mm-hmm. This is how it has to work. They are much more likely to be compliant and to buy into it.
That's been my experience, is that they get, once they understand that this is how much time you have and there isn't any more time, they're much more likely to accept that limitation.
Right.
Rather than, as you say, an arbitrary decision of saying, you get an hour of electronic time per day. Well, maybe some days you don't even have an hour on Sundays.
Right.
Let's say it's a Wednesday night and your family goes to church. Maybe you don't have an hour. Or there's a band concert one night. There may not be an hour that night for 1 hour of video time or electronic time. And so it's setting up the schedule ahead of time that determines how much time you have, not how much time should you have.
Right, mm-hmm. right. And when you go through the process, it makes easy sense.
Right.
It comes through very clearly.
This process of 168 hours and all that.
Right, yeah. right.
Mm-hmm.
So we encourage parents to walk through this process with your child. And what this does, remember last week, Richard, when we were talking about that urge to punish, and we were talking
right.
about that there are some incidents when we need to deal with antecedents instead of the consequences.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
why wait until your child is on the video games for 4 hours before saying, hey, wait a minute, why are you on the video games for 4 hours? You need to be doing this, this, and this.
Right.
So you're focusing on the consequences. You're waiting until the behavior already happens, and then you're trying to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Using this 168-hour solution, that works with the antecedents. So
right.
now we're being proactive and saying, hey, look, when you get these obligations done, then you have time to be on your video games.
Then you have time, right.
Mm-hmm. This is back to our PREMAC principle, right?
Right, that's right.
We're holding contingent something that you really want.
Right.
Based upon the fact that you
what
get
you
things
have
done.
To do.
Right, you know, the have-to's done.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so that that makes sense to students.
Right. And the larger issue here, and one of the things we talk about in our book, is first you have to take care of your responsibilities. Then you have free time. That's the from early childhood into late adolescence and into adulthood. First you take care of your responsibilities. Then you have free time to do what you want to do.
Right.
That's the larger issue that you want to teach here. And it's no different when we're dealing with electronic devices.
Right.
It's the same principle that's involved. Is first of all, you take care of your responsibilities. What are they? Hygiene, eating, sleeping, homework, chores. Those are all the things you have to do.
Right.
Once you've taken care of all those, then you have free time. So you learn, that's how kids learn how to do things efficiently.
Right.
Do your homework efficiently. Do your chores efficiently. Get them done early. Get them done quickly. Do them well. And then you have free time.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, it reminds me of this kid that I worked with once. Because, of course, the problem was he wanted to spend all his time on video mm-hmm. games, and he didn't want to do his homework.
Right.
You know, what kid wouldn't want to spend time on video games than
I'd homework? Rather be fishing than doing a lot of other things.
Right.
Than doing the income taxes.
Yes.
Sorry.
We're in October, and we're still talking about income taxes. Let's think about two things with this, as I kind of go through this example, because I think that this kid, he was a perfect example of how this can be effective. When I talk to him, he tries to squeeze any time he can out of his video games.
How old is this child?
He was 8 or 9 years old. Okay. So elementary school, yeah. So he would try to squeeze every minute, every second he could, he would try to squeeze it out of his video games.
Right.
Because in his words, his parents take his video games away sometimes, so he has no idea when he'll get to play video games again.
Right.
So anytime they're available, that's his focus, because he doesn't know when it's going to be available again.
Oh,
okay?
Okay.
So now what the parents were doing, it isn't so bad. It's just that the way that the child is appreciating those consequences that's causing the problem.
Well, he was, from his perspective.
Yeah.
Right.
It's, hey, I better get as much out of this as I can, because who knows when this opportunity is going
to
come
he
again.
He has to take advantage of it when it's available.
Right.
Because he doesn't know when it might be taken away.
Right. So if he gets home from school and mom is busy doing something and she's not on top of him getting him to do something, he's going to get on his video games.
Right.
And then he's going to have a really difficult time shifting off of that to get some other things done. So what I did this 168-hour solution with him, and we talked about it, and we looked at what his homework was, because him, just like most other kids that are 8 or 9 years old, and this was a bright kid, if he sits down and he does his homework, he'd be done in 30 minutes at the most.
Mm-hmm.
Many kids can get their homework done. If they sit and focus on it, they could get their homework done pretty quick. Kind of ruling out ADHD and those kinds of problems. He could get it done. So we looked at the 168 hours. We looked at his obligations, his responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
His responsibilities were easy. Homework.
Right.
He had just a few minutes of chores that he was supposed to do every day.
Right.
And dinner.
Right.
Then hygiene stuff, you know, getting ready for bed.
Mm-hmm.
As we worked out his block of time, we found out that there is plenty of time for plenty of video games in the evening as long as he got his work done. And so we sat down and we looked at it and said, okay, well, you know, he goes to a charter school, so he has to travel pretty far from school and he gets a ride. And so he doesn't get home. School gets out at 3 o'clock, but he doesn't get home until 4 o'clock. And then he has his chores, and then he has his homework, and then he has dinner and all these things. But we figured it out that if he got home at 4 and he got all of his work done by 7 or so, he would be done with everything. 6 or 7, he'd be done with everything, and then he would have a couple of hours to play video games.
Right.
This kid, who's a genius, he figured, why am I doing that? I have an hour-long ride home.
Right.
He started doing his homework on the ride home in the car.
Mm-hmm.
That bought him another 30 minutes of video game time.
Right.
What this kid is... And again, now we're talking about this kid having multiple hours of video games every night. But what he's doing is he's meeting everyone's responsibilities, every responsibility that's placed before him. He's doing his chores. He's eating with the family.
Right.
He's doing his homework. Mm-hmm. He's doing all these things that he needs to do. Plus, he's being pretty creative.
And responsible.
He's figuring out.
This is how
I can do it.
That's right. That's exactly what we want our kids to do.
Right. Because now we think about that same skill as an adult.
Right.
All right. So his boss, or him as a boss, is going to have some kind of project or task before him. And he's going to figure out
the most efficient way to do it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and it's funny because, you know, that's sort of some of the push for self-driving cars.
Right.
That it can make us more productive because during those hour-long commutes to and from work, we can get work done during that time.
Right.
This kid has figured that out at 8 years old.
Right. And what a wonderful example of how do you say to this child, why in the world would you say to this child, you can only play video games for an hour a day?
Right.
He's figured out a way to play more. That's wonderful.
Right.
So again, it's the video game is not the problem.
Right.
And what do we really want to teach? What we really want our kids to learn is that kind of creative problem solving.
Right.
If this kid is doing that, he should be rewarded.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And he was still going to bed on time. And
he wasn't sacrificing anything. He wasn't sacrificing sleep, family time, chores, or homework.
Yeah. And obviously, the kid was much happier. The parents were much happier because everything was getting done.
Right.
And like you said, why would we limit him based upon some arbitrary number?
It's arbitrary. And then kids get angry and say, well, why can't I play? I've got the time. I've done my chores. You know, then how do you respond? How does a parent respond? You don't, there is no good response for that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And this, the same should, I think, should be used in some of these other situations. Like, for example, we have lots of parents who want to take away video games when their kids' grades drop a little bit.
Using electronics as punishment.
As punishment, right. They remove those privileges as punishment.
Right.
If you approach it with this perspective, it addresses all of those issues.
Right.
Well,
that's right.
If you have a dedicated, you know, this kid was 8 years old, so he's not in high school yet where he's going to have all of these extra classes to study for and all that kind of stuff. But with your high school student or with your middle school student, you know, if you have a dedicated time frame that you're doing your homework, and as I told a kid the other day, even if you don't have homework, you always have something to study.
Right.
So that time frame is used for homework and study. If they're dedicated, no kid is going to go to school for 7.5 hours a day and then come home and adequately and intensively study for another 4 hours.
Right.
That's unreasonable. That's right. Not going to happen. Especially if they have other extracurricular activities and things like that. You know, we wouldn't expect that from ourselves. We don't expect ourselves to go to work for 8 hours a day and then come home and work for another 4 hours. We do that, but most people don't do that. So why would we expect that from a 13 or 14 year old kid? You know, it's just not going to happen. So if you identify the time for them to focus on that,
right.
Remove the other distractions, remove the other issues and the other things that are, whether it's video games or right. TV or whatever, you remove those distractions, that time is focused on that.
Right.
And then transition into more free time, more relaxed time.
That's right.
Those kinds of things.
Right.
That addresses the issue of why grades are dropping.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because now you're spending time studying.
Right. That's right.
We have this delusion that if we remove all of these privileges, that'll make their grades go up. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, to some extent, you have to limit things, but really it's just identifying time to do the work you got to do.
Right. And there's another issue here with, because one of the things many parents want to know about, well, how should I handle it, and what should I do under this or this or this circumstance? When we talk about this 168-hour rule, not rule, the 168-hour reality, what we're doing is parents are monitoring their children when they use this 168-hour concept.
Right.
They're monitoring their children's time. And one of the other things that the Kaiser Family Foundation study found was if parents monitor their children's use of electronics, their use goes down by 3 hours a day.
Wow.
And that surprised me. I figured we would see some kind of a reduction. I didn't know that it would be that much time, because that's almost half. If they're doing 7.5 hours
right.
a day,
yeah,
and they're reducing it by three, just by monitoring your children's use. Now, when we talk about monitoring your children's use, using the 168-hour reality is an excellent, painless, non-confrontational way of monitoring your children's use of electronic devices.
Right.
It's not punitive. It's not confrontational. It's simple arithmetic. You have this much time. If you get your responsibilities taken care of, you have free time to do this.
Right.
So just in doing this 168 hours a week, you're monitoring your child's the time your child spends on electronic devices is probably going to go down dramatically.
Right.
So that's another thing for parents to keep in mind. This becomes, the 168 hours becomes a very effective way of monitoring, becomes an intervention in itself.
Absolutely.
You don't have to worry about punishing.
Right, mm-hmm. right. And when you approach your child with this, you know, so if you're one of those families who's struggling with this issue,
right,
you know, what I would encourage you, or what I encourage families that I talk to do, mm-hmm. is you sit down at times when everybody's calm, everybody's
right,
you know,
that's right,
reasonable and doing okay. Mm-hmm. You know, let's not choose right after a fight or right after an argument or anything like that.
Or during a fight or during an argument.
Right.
Right. To set up rules.
So one day, maybe on the weekend, you sit down and you say, you know, clearly I'm having some concerns about right. how much time you're spending on your video games. We seem to fight about this a lot.
Right.
And I want us to figure out a solution to this mm-hmm. problem. Mm-hmm. So let's sit down and look at what we can do.
Right.
And then you help your child work it out. Identify that there's 168 hours
right.
In a week. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's easy to do.
Right.
7 times 24.
Right.
And there's your 168 hours.
Right.
All right. And then work through this process with them. How much sleep should you get a night? How much time do you spend at school? How much time do you do this? And go through, you know, maybe the week before, kind of go through their schedule detailed, you know, mm-hmm. so you identify these times. We ended up with about 50 hours left. That's a lot. That's a lot of hours left because we're not including things like church,
right.
things, real life Zooms that take, mm-hmm. that consume much more time than we imagine
right.
that it consumes.
Right.
You know, if you go to church, for many people, mm-hmm. We think, oh, well, church service lasts about an hour and a half.
Right.
Well, you're not thinking about the 30 minutes or so beforehand that you get there, the 30 minutes or so afterwards that you're there, mm-hmm. the hour long that you go out to dinner with somebody, or the
right.
the time you spend going to grandmother's house, or
mm-hmm. or getting ready, preparing
for it, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, if your kid gets up at 5 o'clock in the morning to get on the bus for school,
mm-hmm.
you know, even though school doesn't start till 7 o'clock,
right?
There's 2 hours gone.
2 hours invested. Right.
And if mm-hmm. you do 2 hours, that's
right.
every day, that's another 10 that's hours another 10. That's gone.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
go through the schedule very clearly, very
right.
detailed before you sit down with your child.
Right. Yeah. I think there are 2 points there. One is, don't make these rules while you're angry.
Right.
Now, these kind of rules, these kind of discussions shouldn't happen when you're angry with each other.
Right.
So that's number one. Number two, one of the problems I ran into is when you set up the 168 hours, I don't know this kid, he was in eighth grade, he was 8 years old. Did your child have any other after school activities? Was he in band or sports or Little League or anything like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because one of the things that parents want to think about when they are doing this 168 hours, if you have too many hours left over, your child may not be involved in enough activities.
Right.
And maybe the problem is you need to get this child more involved in things. I have some teenagers who don't do anything.
Right.
They're not involved in clubs. They're not involved in sports. They're not involved in any extracurricular activities. Quite simply put, they have too much time on their hands.
Right.
There are too many hours in the day, and those hours become idle hours. They do their homework, and they still have 4 or 5 hours a day. Well, what are you going to do with 4 or 5 hours?
Right.
Play video games and listen to music and be on the internet and kill time. You're going
right.
to kill those hours. So the problem is not, again, the problem is not the electronic devices. The problem is they don't have enough to do.
Right. And I think that we should throw in sort of the other side of that. There are a lot of kids who have 15 hours worth of extracurricular activities.
Too much to do.
And so they're completely overwhelmed. And
right.
just like we were saying, you know, you wouldn't expect your kid to come home from 7.5 hours of school
right.
to do 4 hours worth of homework.
Right.
You know, it may be worth the consideration to say, should we have them at school for 7.5 hours a day, and then they come home and do 3 hours of other
mm-hmm.
obligations,
other activities.
Piano lessons and
right.
gymnastics and
mm-hmm.
karate and other sports and things
right.
like that. Because, you know, I coach a competitive soccer team. You know, they want us to practice, you know, the recommendation is to
mm-hmm.
practice to have 4 practices for every game. When I was getting my coaching license, my national coach's license, they want us to have 4 practices for every game that you play.
How long does the practice last?
at practice last, they recommend an hour and a half.
Wow.
All right, so if we play one game on Saturday, 6 hours they want us to have 4 practices a week.
6 hours.
That's, to me, that's, you know, when you're talking about middle and high school students, mm-hmm. that's a lot of time
right.
that they should be doing other things. So we, you know, what we do is we practice twice a week. We cut that in half because, you know, the obligation is to make sure that the students have, you know, we want them to do well mm-hmm. with soccer, but we also want, we need them to do well in school.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to look at how many extracurricular activities that our kids have right. and make sure that it's realistic.
Mm-hmm.
So when you sit down with your kid and you're going through this 168 hour solution, go through that with them. You know, mm-hmm. let's look at our time.
Yeah.
You know, where is our time spent? Where mm-hmm. is our time wasted?
Right.
And where does our time need to focus?
Mm-hmm.
And do it in a calm, respectful,
mm-hmm.
Appropriate way.
Right.
And when you do that, I promise you, your child will be much more receptive to it.
Mm-hmm.
They will appreciate it from the perspective of they will buy in
right.
to your new plan.
Right. This reminds me of one of the things we talked about last week when we talked about the urge to punish. And one of the bits of one of the tips we left with parents was they need to spend more time setting up conditions that make things happen the way they want them to happen.
Right.
We call them antecedent conditions before right. the things that exist before the behavior occurs. And this is another good example that if you sit down calmly with a piece of paper and just go through these 168 hours with your child, what you're doing is you're setting up the antecedent conditions that avoid problems
right.
rather than waiting until the problems erupt.
Right.
The grades drop, or homework isn't getting done, or you get a report from a school. This way you're setting up the antecedent conditions that lead to success.
Right.
And kids understand this. They understand 168 hours.
You know, yeah.
It makes it very concrete
right.
for even elementary school children.
Right. And it's great when you can do it by identifying, showing them how much time these things are.
Right.
You know, when you say, how much do you sleep a week? Oh, you
know,
I don't know much. but when you put it down on paper, you sleep 60, you need to be sleeping at least 60 hours a week.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. That time builds up very quickly. When you think, how long are you at school? Oh, well, I just go to school in the morning and I come home.
Right.
Well, that's 37 and a half hours a week
right.
in the schoolhouse,
mm-hmm.
not counting mm-hmm. the time to get prepared for it and to recover from it and all that kind of stuff. So,
right.
So getting it down on paper
mm-hmm.
is very helpful. It's very black and white.
Right.
Very because it's math, so it's nice and concrete. It's not algebra, you know.
It's nice and concrete.
And again... You know, as long as your kids at least in third grade, have them do the math.
Have them do the arithmetic.
And let them calculate it, because then it'll be much more meaningful to them.
I did this with my children when they were in elementary school. They loved it.
Yeah.
I mean, it really structured their lives for them.
Right.
And they realized how much time they had for sleepovers and visiting their friends and all that stuff. And they really enjoyed doing it. So.
Right. And then it almost makes time... a way to use commerce.
Right.
Because right. now they can say, well, you know what? I need a couple of extra hours here.
Right.
So here's these obligations that's going to consume some time right. there. I can do those here.
Right.
And they can start using time mm-hmm. as money.
And you made a good point at the beginning that if you're overdoing it in one category, you're probably sacrificing sleep.
Right.
And
right.
that becomes a huge problem. And
right.
I think many children are sacrificing sleep. That's
mm-hmm.
the one thing. They wait till their parents go to bed, and then they pull out the electronic devices. And I think you need to monitor that very carefully.
Right. And I think that's where we'll sort of wrap up today by saying, you know, clearly what we're talking about is how to manage the day in and day out
mm-hmm.
issues with tech time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are situations, of course, where removal of technology should be a consequence.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you, let's say you go through this 168-hour solution
right.
with your kid, and then you find out that he's sneaking more time or
mm-hmm.
that he's lying about doing his homework. He says, oh,
right.
I got all my homework done, and you find out that he hasn't.
Right.
Well, certainly those are situations where you have to be a little bit more direct in your involvement in your kids' schooling and their time on their computers, if they're misusing it. You know, I have patients who want rated M games and they're only 11 or 12 years old. Well, you know, to me, first of all, and I think this was something that we said early on in this podcast, is you got to know your kid.
Right.
You know, if your kid is one who's going around cursing at everybody and he's, you know, easily suggestible from some of these things,
right,
it's probably not very good to have a rated M game. If your kid is not like that and he recognizes the difference between reality and fantasy and he can separate, you know, some of these things, then it may be okay. My son, Connor, he has always been really good at... He thought SpongeBob was real for a little bit too long, but... I'm just joking, Connor. But he, you know, he's always been very good at that because he's a sweet kid. Right. He's very respectful of others for the most part. And, you know, so when he gets these rated M games where he gets to shoot zombies and things like that, you know, they'll throw cuss words out there and everything. But he doesn't use those cuss words. He understands that that is a video game and that's separate from how I can talk in real life.
Right.
When you know your child, those decisions become much easier.
That's right.
So, you know, we have to know our kid.
Right.
We have to appropriate what's appropriate for them, what's inappropriate for them. Mm-hmm. And while, you know, we have these general guidelines, whether it's the rating scale for for the video games, or it's, you know, you read in some newspaper column or something that, oh, your child should have, you know, 45 minutes or, you know, so many minutes per age, per year of their age or something like that for video game time. Those are rough estimates and may not be relevant at all to your child.
Right. That's right.
You have to know your kid.
You have to know your child. Some children can handle it, like you're talking about Connor. He can handle those games. We both have had patients. They get overstimulated playing these games, and they get angry, and they get angry with their parents, and they start breaking stuff and throwing stuff. That's a completely different situation.
Right.
Did I hear you say a few minutes ago we were going to continue talking about this? Maybe talk about it next week?
Well, I think that there's more things that we need to talk about with this. I think that because when we're talking with our kids about these issues, and we kind of hinted at or sort of promoted this topic before,
right,
many kids identify themselves by their video game time.
Right.
You know, right. I'm a gamer.
And
what's unfortunate is, fortunate or unfortunate, I'm not sure if it's unfortunate, but What a lot of these kids will do is they become so focused on it that, oh, well, when I grow up, I'm going to be a video game designer. Well,
right.
So video games become part of their identity.
Right.
And one of the things that we've talked about, wanted to talk about before, is how are we identifying who we are?
Right. Right.
And so what I want to do is I think that what we're going to shift into is think about what's happening with our kids and ourselves, because we do this as adults as well, and how we're identifying who we are. And so next week, I think we're going to spend some time talking about the difference between our real self and our ideal self.
Okay. There was another issue that it must have been an email that somebody sent in while we were talking, which listeners can do now.
Right.
And somebody sent in an email that said, my daughter always has her phone out.
Right.
How do I count how much time she's spending on her phone? Because it's out literally 24 hours a day.
Right.
And we don't have time to do that today.
Right.
But it's a very good question and probably something that we should talk about in a future podcast.
That's true. Because...
Because again, a phone is very different than a video game.
Absolutely.
Right.
Because it's... And it's multitasking.
That's right.
We don't know if it's effective multitasking.
But it's multitasking.
But it is multitasking because,
right,
you know, what do you do when your kid's sitting there doing homework and their phone is going off while it's sitting next to them?
Right.
They respond to their phone and then they go back to homework. Is that an issue?
Right, right.
Do we want to create an issue about that.
Right.
And we certainly creating more lists of topics.
Right.
You know, homework hassles, how we're dealing with those times when our kids are supposed to be doing homework, and how we're navigating some of those battles.
Mm-hmm. And should children take phones to bed with them at night? That's
right.
Another issue that comes up frequently. So should the phone be with them during homework? Should the phone be with them in bed? All legitimate questions. But somebody texted in and asked that question. How do I count that time if she always has it out?
Right.
So
and that's almost double counting.
Yeah.
Except that what it probably results in is making homework take longer.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
So, mm-hmm. So when you're thinking about homework time, we're now, instead of being done with homework in 30 minutes, homework mm-hmm. is taking an hour, because for every right. minute that you spend doing homework, you're spending a minute doing phone time.
Thereby doubling the homework time.
Right. Yeah. And again, I would go back to addressing that from the perspective of, you know, how much time do we have to allot for homework?
That's right.
Well, if it's taking you an hour because you're on your phone, mm-hmm. or if it's taking you an hour because that's how long it takes you to do your homework, mm-hmm. that doesn't matter to me.
Right.
If you're getting your homework done, that's what matters.
Right.
And if it's going to take you 2 hours to do that, mm-hmm. well,
you're giving up something else.
You're giving up something else.
Right. And as long as it's not sleep or something important, right. then we're okay.
Right. So we got to talk
lots
about
of
that.
Questions, right.
Lots mm-hmm. of issues. So, if you're listening and you have more questions, if you've heard anything that we talked about today and you have some additional questions about that, we could do that, and we could put off the real self versus ideal self for another day again, and we could kind of continue this conversation and talk about how it relates to homework hassles and mm-hmm. Maybe. Well, now that I'm thinking about it, there's more things that we could talk about. Because how should parents address that?
Right.
Parents are torn, I think, between removing phone privileges and making sure that their kid has their phone. Because mm-hmm. you know, what do we hear parents say? Well, I have to be able to get in touch with them.
Right.
They need to have their phone so I can get in touch with them mm-hmm. After school or whenever. So how do you balance that? So
we probably ought to talk about cell phones separately. You know,
so next week's episode will be all about cell phones.
Maybe we should talk about cell phones.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a much more, you know, at what age should I give my kids a cell phone? Should they be able to connect to the internet? These are all questions that parents are asking.
Right.
All legitimate questions, really important. So.
Yeah. So we'll do that. We'll do that next week. Man,
okay.
You changed my mind.
Well, as parents of teenagers, both of us are dealing. We're right in the middle of this cell phone hassle. So
yes,
have you heard of phubbing?
No.
PHUBBING.
No.
We'll talk about phubbing next week.
I don't know
as
what that
well.
Is. Hopefully, that's not offending anybody by you using that word.
It's another study that was just reported this morning. So we'll talk about phubbing next week.
All right. Well, that's exciting. I can't wait to hear about that. All right. So, as we're wrapping up, we will be back on the air next week. If you have any questions and comments or any you hear thoughts about anything that you hear or that you would like for us to talk about, please write into us. What I learned is that the chat function on Mixlr, even if we're not on the air, you can write to us on that chat function, and I will get it, mm-hmm. and we can respond mm-hmm. Even when we're not on the air, which is pretty cool.
Okay.
So if you have questions or comments or anything, please feel free to write in. Check us out on our website. TheMentalBreakdown.com is our blog. Mm-hmm. PACFlorida, PACFLORIDA.com is our practice. On our practice website, there's lots of information about workshops that we're doing. Mm-hmm. You can sign up for our newsletter. To get some additional information about what's going on here in our office in Lakeland, Florida. So there's lots of information out there about that. Check us out on iTunes. You can. We would love for you to write a review on iTunes just to help boost our exposure so that other people know that we're out here, and hopefully increase the conversation. We hope that Mixlr is working for everybody so that you're listening to us and you're able to interact It's mm-hmm. fun on this end. So hopefully it's adequate on your end. And again, with the newsletter and with our website, you'll see that we are having an open house in October. So we hope that everybody would be able to make it, kind of see what we're doing here, come see the office, and it'll be great.
Mm-hmm. Looking forward to that. Please, join us for the open house.
Yeah, and in November, we're planning a workshop in November on medication. Right. We're going to talk about myths and misperceptions of medications, mm-hmm. Namely psychotropic medications for a variety of illnesses and stuff. So lots of things going on.
Busy month.
Yes. Busy month. So with that, I'm Dr. Bernie.
And I'm Dr. Richard.
And we look forward to talking with you next week.
Okay.
Have a good one.
Thank you for listening to The Mental Breakdown. If you want more information, you can check out our website at www.pacflorida.com. The Mental Breakdown is sponsored in part by theledger.com, where you can read our weekly column in the Live section. Our podcasts are available for download on iTunes, and you can follow us on our YouTube channel and Facebook. We would love to hear from you, so feel free to send us messages either through our website or on Facebook. You can send us questions or topics you would like for us to address on future podcasts. Drs. Bernie and Richard are available for workshops, so you can contact us for more information. Thank you for listening, and until next time, stay mentally healthy.